We're going to come back to Luke's Gospel now, and we're going to focus in on verse 40 of chapter 12 of Luke's Gospel. And some of you, men and women, are participating in groups studying 1 Thessalonians just now. We'll be referring to that book in the course of the sermon, but I was struck by something there very forcibly this week as we were reading, and it's just the suddenness and the complete and absolute change that will come with the return of Jesus Christ. So Luke 12 and verse 40, Jesus says to his disciples, "You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And what a sudden change is going to come about when this happens. Now, this is at the very, very heart of the Christian faith. It's as fundamental in our beliefs as our belief in the deity of Jesus, or our belief in the resurrection of the Son of God, is as fundamental as our belief in the Trinity, and as our belief in Christ's atoning death. We believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus again. And yet Christians can be a funny lot. Sometimes we don't like change. We don't like the unexpected, and we don't like the unfamiliar, which is really strange, because becoming a Christian involves a great deal of change and upheaval, and becoming a Christian commits you to believing in unimaginable changes in the future of your life. Not least when the Lord Jesus returns. Because we believe that when he returns, there will be an absolutely radical, sudden and irreversible change to the world in which we live. It won't come when we expect it, and it will change things more than we can possibly imagine. So at the heart of our faith is change. And at the very heart of our faith is belief in a change that is coming, which could come tonight, could come even as I'm preaching a sermon. We just don't know. A change that's so completely transformational that it will absolutely alter everything about the way our lives are at this moment. So I'm going to look at this verse and look at it just simply under three obvious headings from the verse. We're going to think about the promise, and we're going to think about the problem from the verse, and then we're going to think about preparing. So the promise, the problem, and preparing. And there is a promise in this verse, and the promise is this: the Son of Man will come. Luke 12 verse 40. The Son of Man will come. Jesus didn't ever let us down with his promises. Many of the promises he made in the Gospels have been fulfilled. And even those that seemed most outlandishly unlikely have been fulfilled. And when Jesus ascended to heaven and the apostles were standing outside Jerusalem near Bethany, looking up into heaven, where Jesus had just disappeared out of their sight, an angel appeared. The angel said to them, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there gazing up into heaven?" And then he said, "This Jesus, this same Jesus, whom you have seen go into heaven, will come again in the same manner as you have seen him go into heaven." That's a promise. He's coming again. You saw him going into heaven. You're going to see him coming out of heaven too. Now, it may be that you think, well, that's a long time ago. People could very understandably be very excited about that back in the days of the apostles because it seems so very fresh in their minds. But a lot of time has passed and it's gone off the boil. In fact, it's not going to happen now, is it? Because if it was going to happen at all, it would have happened a long time ago. And we really need to beware of thinking like that. Many people in the world think like that. They think they can discount Jesus because his first coming and the things he said were so long ago. Listen to what Peter says about that, though. Above all, he says, you must understand that in the last days, that's the days since Jesus rose from the dead, until now, the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Then Peter says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So if you ask Peter, why is Jesus delaying his coming? He's saying, well, God's timekeeping is a bit different to us. Think about how long it took for God to fulfill his promises to Abraham. That was 2,000 years. So, there's a reason, says Peter, why the promises are delayed in the case of Jesus coming. Because God's giving you a chance. He doesn't want you to perish. He wants people to come to repentance. He's giving you time. Paul says in Romans 2, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? So there's a kindness in the time that Jesus is giving us and giving the world, so that we have time to repent and to be ready for his coming. But he's coming, and that's a promise. The second thing is that something that you might call a problem. And the problem is, the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And that might seem to be a bit of a problem. You'd like to be ready for him coming. You'd like to be expecting him. But it's not like that. In fact, Jesus tells us that he doesn't even know when it's going to happen. In Mark 13, verse 32, but about that day or hour, no one knows, Jesus says. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Father keeps it to himself. He's the only one who knows, says Jesus. I don't know, says Jesus, when it's going to happen. So, it's not a case then that on the earth, people are going to be counting down to zero. The church won't be sort of on tenterhooks going 10, 9, 8, 7, ready for the moment when Jesus returns, all standing there expecting. It's going to be totally unexpected. You'll just be doing the normal things. You'll be out shopping. Maybe you'll be in church. Maybe you'll be sleeping in your bed. You'll be driving your car. You'll be having coffee with your friends. You'll be out in the garden. And Jesus will come. And he'll interrupt you and me. And it won't be like we can just be a bit inconvenienced and then get back to what we were doing after a while. It's not like the minister's visit. Sometimes I get that impression when I go visiting people. because I don't always phone ahead. I just drop by sometimes, and you can just see people say, "Oh, drat, the minister had things planned for the afternoon," or whatever. The minister pops in, and I can't wait for them to go so they can get back to what they're doing. I'm maybe caricaturing it a bit. But I think we've got this thing about Jesus coming that somehow it'll sort of happen, and then it'll sort of return to normal after a while. Well, it won't. You will never go back to what you were doing before Jesus came. And that may be a problem. It might be a problem for you, and it's certainly a problem for people of the world who don't know Jesus. Because people always want to go back to the way it was. That's the nature of people. Something upsets us, like we have an accident, we're always trying to get back to the way it was before the accident. Or we have an illness and we try to get over the illness because we want to get back to normal, as we see. Or maybe it's on the world scale, the financial crash, for example, and that caused a huge amount of upheaval in the world. But everyone's just trying to get back to the way things were before it happened. Well, you won't be doing that when Jesus returns. It'll interrupt us, and things will never return to that normal, to the normal that we know just now, when Jesus returns. His return will be dramatic. And this is a verse that really struck me in 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout of command, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." That is dramatic. So you'll know about it as soon as it happens. The heavens will be torn open. There'll be a shout of command, there'll be the voice of the archangel, there'll be the trumpet of God. It will be absolutely, overwhelmingly obvious to the entire population of the world that it's over. This present age has come to a decisive and instantaneous end. It will be dramatic. And there are lots of images in the Bible to bring that home to people. Let me just mention three images quickly. The image of the torrent and the trap, and the image of the thief. The image of the torrent, this is Matthew 24. "For in the days before the flood," Jesus says, "people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So what happens? Well, people are eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. It's just normal life. They're just getting on with life. Making their homes and looking after the gardens and trying to bring up their children. And then a drop of rain falls. There's a first drop of rain, and everything has changed. The flood comes. And that's the image that Jesus uses. This is how it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. It's that dramatic. Or the image of the trap in Luke, in this Gospel, chapter 21. Verse 34 says, "Be careful," Jesus says, "or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life." Sounds like a lot of people's lives. "And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap," Jesus says. "For it will come on those who live on the face of the whole earth." So again, it's just like you're going out for a walk. It's just another walk. Familiar place, you're just walking along, suddenly the ground just opens up in front of you and you fall into a trap. And everything changes in a moment, an unforeseen moment. That's the image Jesus is using for his coming to the world. It will come, says Jesus, on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. There's the image of the thief, perhaps a more familiar one. Here in verse 39, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. Well, you know that, wouldn't you? If you knew there was a thief coming, you'd be waiting there for him or her, usually a him, with your crowbar or whatever, ready to fend him off. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So it's just like every other night. Same as every other night. Same routine. As you get ready for bed, and as you go to bed, and settle down to sleep. It's just like every other night. And then, stealthily, a thief opens the window and slips into your home. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now that might seem to be a problem. Looks like it might be a problem for everyone. But actually it's not like that. Because there are some for whom the day of the Lord is not a problem, it's a solution. I hope you're one of them. Because the final thing in this verse is that we need to prepare. And it says in verse 40, you also must be ready. You must be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. We have to prepare. Now we can be prepared. So that even though Jesus is coming at a time we don't expect him, we're not going to be expecting him. We'll just be getting on with our lives. Nevertheless, when he comes, we can be ready instantly to welcome him and receive him. It will be a surprise, but it will be a joyful surprise and a welcome surprise. It won't be like we'll say, oh no, he's coming, I wanted to finish this thing I was doing. Or, you know, I wish he wouldn't come quite yet. It won't be like that for some people. Some people will be prepared to drop their lives and everything in them that they've ever been doing and ever wanted to do, and all their hopes and all their ambitions and everything else, they'll just be prepared to just drop everything at that moment, never to take it up again, but simply to welcome in the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. And that is because they know that for them, the coming of Jesus makes everything better. It makes everything forever and infinitely better. Jesus will come, and he will come for our benefit. So in the beginning of our reading at verse 35, Jesus, using this parable, he says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Here's the amazing bit. I tell you the truth, the master will dress himself to serve. He will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. And Jesus, of course, is casting himself in that role. It's beautiful for those who are ready for him coming. So it doesn't need to be a problem that Jesus returns unexpectedly. So there are two ways to look at it, and there are two possible outcomes for when Jesus returns. Here's what 1 Thessalonians goes on to say. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write you. Why? We'd like to know some times and dates. Well, no, because you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You won't know days or times. While people are saying peace and safety, Destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So that's one outcome, destruction. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. It's not like that for you, says Paul. So all hinges on whether we're ready, whether we're prepared. And the final question tonight is how to be ready. Well, we can tell you straight off how to be unready. Let's just look at verse 45 and 46 in chapter 12 here. This is another parable. Suppose the servant says to himself, "My master is taking a long time in coming." And he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. So here's how to be not ready. Here's how the coming of Jesus could be a problem. If you are careless of the coming of Jesus and you live like he's not going to come. You beat the men servants and maid servants, eat, drink and get drunk. You live like you don't have to meet the master. But here's how to be ready. Verse 35 and 36. Be dressed, ready for service, keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. To be ready is you live like you know he could return any time. And then we ask ourselves tonight, do we live like that? Like men and women who know Jesus could return any time. Peter puts it like this. He says, "What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." So then he says, "Dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him." So the Lord's coming. Make every effort to be spotless and blameless and at peace with him. At peace with Jesus. So when he comes, we're at peace with him. When he comes, he will come in glory. And I might be standing up here telling you about it, but believe me, it will be scary. It'll be scary for me. Scary for everyone, because it'll be so out with our everyday experience. It'll be an awesome experience, even if we're ready for it. It'll be a terrifying experience if we're not. We may feel tonight that we are good people, but when you see the glory of Jesus on his return, you will know the truth about yourself. And if all you have tonight as your defense before Jesus is your self-confidence, then believe me, that self-confidence will melt away when Jesus returns. And if all you've got is self-confidence, you will rue the day. You will hide, or try to hide, in terror from Jesus. So you need to know this Jesus, that when he comes, he's going to come to your defense. He's going to come to your aid. He's going to come, as the parable says, and have you recline and wait upon you and serve you. You need to know that that's the attitude Jesus will have towards you when he comes. And to know that, you just need to know Jesus. as a friend. You need to know him now. You can do this just by seeking from him now his mercy and seeking him earnestly in prayer. Because when Jesus comes and entraps you, the form of this world as you know it will pass away. And you would hope that when that's happening and everything around you is, as Peter says, being laid bare, that he will recognize you and protect you. There's a striking story in the Old Testament where the Israelites are conquering the land of Canaan. And they come to the city of Jericho and they send spies in to look over the place so they can plan how to take it. And they're given refuge in the house of a woman called Rahab. And Rahab believes in the Lord. And she believes that the Lord is coming with his people Israel to occupy the land. And she is very concerned for herself and her household. And so she makes a spy swear that when the Lord comes with his people to take Jericho, that she'll be safe. And so they say, well, you hang out that, soak that scarlet thread at your window so we know which house it is, and we'll go in and we'll bring you out safely. And it's an act of faith, and she does it. She does that. And when Jericho is taken, Rahab and her family are saved. Not only does the Lord come to her defense, but the Lord actually weaves her life into the story of Jesus and makes her one of Jesus' progenitors. It's amazing. So for us, the Lord is coming. We don't hang scarlet threads out our window. We trust Jesus Christ. We make our peace with him now on the basis of what he's done for us, not on the basis of our confidence or what we think of ourselves, but on the basis of what he's done for us. And we trust him. So that however shocking and interrupting and sudden the coming of Jesus is for our lives, when it happens, we'll drop everything and we'll welcome him. And with him, the new age, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells, and where he is Lord, and everything evil is under his feet, and there'll be no more wickedness, no more sorrow, no more death, no more suffering. The old order of things will have passed away, and with it, all those who are not ready for the coming of Jesus. You also must be ready, says Jesus, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him.